Whoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch it, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. And we know and trust the Lord will add his blessing to his own public reading and inspired word. We'll seek the Lord in prayer. We praise the Lord. We've sang. We've read his word. Now let's just pray over these verses just now. And maybe there's verses that you've heard many times as a children's worker. You've told them or you've heard them. Or you've maybe heard them preached before. Well, I trust that the Lord will bring them back to you just now. Father, we come to thee now for thy help. Lord, we realise that vain is the help of man. And O God, we need thee to help just now. We thank thee for thy precious word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We rejoice and we thank thee that we can hide thy word in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. Father, thou didst command Joshua to meditate upon thy word day and night. Therein he would have success and that he would prosper. Father, we pray now that thou wilt bless us as we seek to meditate upon thy word. Reveal thyself to us. Open up thy word to our hearts and open up our hearts to thy word. Father, may we see none save Jesus only. Help me today. Stand beside me, fill me with the Holy Ghost, I cry. Give power in the preaching of thy word. For we ask all these things in his precious name. Amen. The portion that we have just read there in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, says that straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go the other side onto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And we must ask this question. Why did the Lord compel his disciples to go to the other side? For the word straightway is important. Something was about to happen. Something was about to occur that the Saviour thought necessary to send his disciples to go to the other side. We learn about this in John chapter 6, that verse that we were, a chapter that we said about keeping a finger in. John chapter 6. And there we learn that after the Lord did this miracle off the fishes and the loaves and fed the thousands of people there, there was a band of people who came to the Lord. The Lord knew that they were coming. It says there in verse 14 of John chapter 6, for those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, and in verse 15 says, they would take him by force to make him a king. These people were coming because they wanted to have the Lord to rule over them in some carnal way. Not to rule over them in a spiritual way, not to be the king of their heart and lord of their life, but it was in some political stanza that here is this man, this great miracle worker, this prophet, this man who can do great things. Let us have him on our side. And the Lord perceived that they were coming. The Lord knew that these men were coming his way. So he seemed it necessary to send his disciples to the other side. For we read there in Mark that he constrained them. And that word constrained, it simply means to compel, to cause, to go to the other side, to force in a sense. And you can imagine the disciples. They had just seen the Lord do a great miracle. They had just seen something spectacular to the human eye. The Lord took that which was little and blessed it, and there were multitudes fed. Though the disciples, they wanted to stay there. They wanted to dwell there. They wanted to enjoy the Lord's presence and to continue feasting on the good things that they had seen. We could say it like this, that they were on the mountaintop and they wanted to stay there. They wanted to dwell there. But the Lord found it necessary to send them to the other side because he had taught them a lesson that day that they were now to put into practice. And every time the Lord brings us to the mountaintop, every time the Lord reveals himself to us, it is to also teach us a lesson that every day that we will put those lessons into practice. I wonder today, as the Lord would give us a word from himself today, what lessons that we need to put into practice. The Lord sent these disciples to the other side, and as he sent them, halfway through the other side, a storm would arise. An event in their life would come upon them that they did not expect, that they did not think. But the Lord was in control of the whole situation. And I want to talk to you today about the Lord's control in every storm. The Lord's control in every storm. Notice, first of all, the Lord prepared his disciples in the storm, or for the storm. We read there in verse 52 of Mark chapter 6, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." They considered not the miracle of the loaves. The day had started in the Savior's presence. Throughout the various Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John, we learn how this event comes together. In Mark chapter 6, verse 36, the multitude has come, and the disciples say they have nothing to eat. And in John chapter 6, we learn more background information to this great day. The Lord comes to Philip and says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him. Here the Lord comes and says to Philip, "What shall we buy bread for these may eat? How are these people going to eat? Where are we going to get the bread to feed them all?" This he said to prove them. And that word prove, it signifies to see if something can be done. It's to see what Philip's reaction would be. And the Lord, when he said to Philip, "How are we going to feed all this multitude? Where are we going to get the bread from?" It was to see what his answer would be. And his answer should have been, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to feed this crowd. I don't know, humanly speaking, what we're going to do. It's beyond us. It's beyond anything that we can do. But one thing I do know, Lord, is that you are able to meet the need. And you, Lord, alone are able to feed this multitude. For what we cannot do, Lord, you're able to do." But Philip didn't go down that road. Philip went on to say in John chapter 6, Philip said in verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. The young lad comes with his small lunchbox of the loaves and the fishes. And Philip's response is this in verse 9 of John chapter 6. "What are these among so many? Lord, there's not enough to feed the crowd. It just cannot be done. What are we going to do?" Now, to cut the story short, because this is not our purpose today, I just want to point out this here, that in Mark chapter 6, verse 38, with the five loaves and the two fishes, and in verse 42 of Mark chapter 6, it says, "They did all eat and were filled." Verse 44, "About 5,000 men were filled." Matthew in his account adds in chapter 14, verse 21, that amongst this whole crowd was also men and women. And the whole point is, the Lord was able to meet the need. We learn there in John chapter 6, whenever the Lord said to Philip, "How are we going to get bread to feed the crowd? What are we going to do?" This he said to prove him. John chapter 6 tells us something remarkable. For it says this here straight after, "For he himself knew what he would do." And I think that's remarkable. He himself knew what he would do. "Philip, how are we going to feed the crowd? What's the answer going to be? Lord, we haven't got enough. There's not enough to feed the crowd." But he himself knew what he was going to do. He knew how he was going to feed the crowd, because he was sufficient to meet every need. He was infinite in his knowledge. He knew what the crowd needed. He knew how many had to be fed. He knew how little he had. And he knew that he was the answer. You see, the point is, the Lord knew that he would send them soon into a storm. John chapter 6, verse 18, "A great wind blew." In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, that the wind was contrary unto them. That means the word contrary is against. That whenever they were rowing in the sea, the wind was blowing against them. It was hard to row. It was pushing them back further and further and further. They put all their strength into it, humanly speaking. They did all they could, but they were making little progress. And the whole point, the Lord was showing them, what I did before, I am able to do now. I am doing this, feeding this multitude, showing you that I can do all things Of yourself, you can do nothing. Of yourself, the situation is hopeless. Of yourself, you have no hope. But with me, I am your hope. I am the one that has the answer. I am the one that is able to meet every need. And that ought to be a great encouragement for us all. Because we notice that when the Lord had commanded them to go to the other side, they were living in obedience to him. They were not living disobedience. They were walking in the will of the Lord. They were doing everything that he had asked them to do. Get into the ship to go to the other side. They got into the ship. They went to the other side. And then this great storm comes. And there are times in our life when the Lord sends storms. There are times in our life when we have been in his presence, when we have been blessed by the Lord, and then he sends us into the storm. Like the hymn has said, every joy or trial cometh from above. And I say to you today, men and women, what is the Lord preparing you for? What is the Lord preparing me for? For every day, the Lord is preparing us to walk this path that he has led us on. As for God, his way is perfect. And every day we read the scriptures. Every day we come to God's house. When we come to the prayer meeting, every time we hear God's word preached to our heart, the Lord is preparing us for the next day. The lesson you learn today, the Lord will put it into place maybe tomorrow, the next day, next week, whenever it may be. But the Lord prepares his people today. That morning, the Lord had prepared his people by doing this great miracle. And then he would send them into the storm to see how they would respond. One man said, you're either going into a trial, going through a trial, or coming out of a trial. And I don't know what storm or trial you're facing today. I don't know what trial you'll face next week, or the week after, or the week after. But I want you to know that the Lord is preparing you today. He prepared you last week, and he'll keep preparing you. Last year I had the great joy of meeting a man in Tavistock called Mike O'Brien. Mike was a great man of God, great times of fellowship, great times of praise. We met him on our first visit, and great fellowship and contact. But then I went back again just last summer, and when I was in Lewis, I was travelling up to take the prayer meeting, and I was just praying, Lord, what would you have me to speak on that prayer meeting? And we travelled up that night, the Tuesday night, and we opened up God's word, and again, a sermon that we preached was casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And we brought some truths out that night, and Mike was there. But little did we know, 2 days later, Mike came and said to the people of that congregation that his cancer had come back after 15 years. The Lord had prepared him that prayer meeting night for the news he was about to receive. And then as he went on through his treatment, the Lord continued to prepare him each day. I would ring him up and he would say, he could just feel the pain over the phone, the words that he would use. But he knew that he was in the will of the Lord. And then just 2 weeks before Christmas there, Mike had gone home to be with the Lord. And I say to you, what is the Lord preparing you? How is the Lord preparing you? Every day, the Lord is preparing us. For some, he's preparing us in our times of sickness. Some, he's preparing to leave this scene of time. But every day, the Lord is preparing us for the storm that will come into our life. That may be a family situation, a circumstance may change, whatever it may be. The Lord is preparing us, but we need to take the lessons and apply them. Because what did we read in verse 52? At the end of this whole day, when they went through the storm, when they went through the trial, it says this here, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They didn't think back of what the Lord did that day, how the Lord had blessed them that day, how the Lord guided them that day. All they thought upon was the situation they were in. The Lord prepares his disciples for the storm. Notice secondly, the Lord prays for his disciples before the storm. Because whenever the Lord had sent them away, he went up to a mountain. In verse 46, he had sent them away. He departed into a mountain to pray. And what a great joy that is to know that whenever the Lord sent the disciples away, he went straight into the mountain and there he was praying for them. Because he never does anything apart from his people. Oh, throughout that day, they saw the Lord in his great ministry as the great high priest. Whenever he was doing that miracle, they saw the great truth that he was the only sacrifice for sin. But now when he comes to this part, he now reveals himself in his ministry of intercession. He is now alive and he ever lives to make intercession for his people. And that ought to encourage us, because the Lord is interceding. The Lord is praying for his people. When you go through the trial, when you go through the storm, when you go through the hard times in your life, the Lord is praying for you. Because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that word touched, it simply means to sympathize. It means to feel the same as the other. And whenever you go through a trial, what breaks your heart, what pains you, it hurts the Savior as well. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, he appears in the presence of God for us. He represents us in glory. And the very fact of his representation in heaven is a very act of his intercessory work, even without a word offered. The Savior praying for his people. Whenever Peter went through that attack, did not the Lord say, I have prayed for thee? John chapter 17, he is there praying for his people. Now that's important. Why? Because through this storm, through this trial, we don't read of the disciples praying for themselves. They did not take time to cry on to the Lord. Yes, they were experienced fishermen. Maybe they thought they could try and handle the situation themselves. They had been out on the ship, that they knew all about the fishing industry. I'm sure they had been in smaller winds before. And maybe they were able to control those. But this was something beyond them, because it was a great storm that arose, blowing against them hard. And they didn't take time to pray for themselves. I say this as well. You don't read of anybody else praying for them. No one else knew their situation. They were out there in the sea alone. And that may be your situation today, going through some situation. And you feel you just can't pray for yourself. You haven't prayed for yourself. Other people may not even realize that you're going through that storm. And they haven't even prayed for you either. But I say this here. That whether someone does pray for you, whether someone doesn't realize to pray for you, whether you can't pray for yourself, let me say this here. The Lord is praying for you. The Lord is praying for you. We sing that great hymn. Jesus is praying for you. When you don't know what else to do, just remember that Jesus is praying for you. And that ought to thrill our heart. That ought to thrill our soul. Because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I say to you, you may go home to an empty house today. The Lord is praying for you. You may be going through that struggle sitting here right now. The Lord is praying for you. The Lord prays for his disciples before the storm. Notice also, the Lord pays attention to his disciples in the storm. Verse 48, and he saw them. And that word saw, it means to have knowledge. It means to have that examination. Literally, it just simply means to pay attention. So here we have, the Lord sends them into this storm. He prays for them through the storm. And now he pays attention to them in the storm. His eye is never off them. John chapter 6 verse 17. Jesus was not come unto them yet. Mark 6 verse 47. The ship was now in the midst of the sea. Right in the very heart. As what people would say, the eye of the storm. They're making little progress. John chapter 6 verse 19. They had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. Some other people more intelligent than me have calculated this out, that it's about 3 to 4 miles. Halfway through. They haven't even got right to the other side. They've only made it just about halfway, maybe just a bit over. Still a long way to go. And yet, they feel like they're getting nowhere. But the Lord saw them. Verse 48, he sees them. But now look at verse 50. They saw him. And let me say this here. Before we ever see the Lord in any trial, he always sees his people. And that's a great encouragement. He pays attention. Whatever you're going through today, the Lord pays attention. You may talk to people. I don't know if you ever had this before. You talk to people and they sort of look all around you. And you're like, well, you just pay attention to me for a second. I get that all the time. Just look at me. But the Lord is paying attention to you. The Lord is focusing upon you in your situation. The same word actually is brought out in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 31. You know that great Sermon on the Mount. And it says here in Matthew 6, verse 31, take no thought, or be not anxious, don't worry, don't panic, of what you may put on, eat or drink, all those great encouragements to the believer. As in the Lord saying, I'll supply your need. Verse 32 of Matthew chapter 6, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And that's the word knoweth. Your heavenly Father pays attention to all that you need. He knows what you need. And even today as you sit here, brokenhearted, wondering what's going to happen with this next doctor's result, what's going to happen to the family, whatever it may be, the Lord already knows what you need. He knows how you feel. And he pays attention to that. Because when we learn throughout this account, he saw them in the darkness. This is at night time. Mark says in verse 47, when even was come. John chapter 6, verse 17, it was now dark. It was in the darkest time here at the night. And yet the Lord saw them. How did he see them? Well, he knew about them. He paid attention to them. But also physically. Psalm 139, verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Are both alike to thee. Sometimes those trials, those troubles, make us feel like we're walking down that dark path. But amongst the darkest time in your life, the light and the darkness, it's all the same to the Lord. He saw them as well in their distress. Because it says there, he saw them toiling and rowing. And that word toiling, it's labouring. The very aspect literally means it's to be in torment. They were in torture. That's what the word simply means. They were in torture. It was torturing them. Such was this storm. It brought a fear upon them. It tortured them. It burned their energy. You can imagine it in your mind. They're trying all their hardest to row and row and row. The wind is blowing against them. The ship is about to tip over. And they're getting no progress. They feel alone. It's in the middle of the night. It's darkness all around them. The Lord has not yet come. They have not sought the Lord. And they are burning their energy. It's tormenting them. And maybe that's how you can feel today. Whatever you have been doing, hospital trips, as you would like to say, burning the energy, making you feel weak, making you feel tired. Yet the Lord pays attention to it all. None detail is missed. The psalmist could say, poor needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, the Lord knew this storm was going to come. So he prepared his disciples for that storm. When he sent them into the storm, he prayed for them. And when they were in that storm, he paid attention to them. But notice also, fourthly, the Lord's presence with his disciples in the storm. We read there that the Lord had not yet come. But then after, in Mark chapter 6, verse 49, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh on to them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Here they are in torment, and the Lord comes at the fourth watch. Now that fourth watch has been seen to be around about between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So some have calculated out that they left at night time, 6 p.m., and to go right through is about 9 hours. So think about that. For 9 hours, they have been tormented, tortured. The wind has come against them. They feel alone, and they feel the Savior has not yet come. But he finally did come in his own appointed time. He came in a way unexpected, because he came to them walking upon the sea. And the Lord may come to you at times unexpectedly when you don't expect to see him. Threading through that time of your own personal devotion, through the preacher, through another Christian encouraging you. He may use a verse of scripture, someone sends a card for encouragement or a phone call, whatever it may be, and the Lord reveals himself to that way. But the Lord left them for a long period of time. And I want you to notice that when you go through your trial and your trouble and you are still waiting on the Lord to break through, oh Lord, I'm going through this trial, this trouble, my heart is breaking, and you feel alone, and you're saying, Lord, why haven't you come yet? Lord, why haven't I felt your presence? Lord, I'm still waiting on you coming. Didn't Mary and Martha feel the same in John chapter 11? Their brother had died. At the start, when he had got sick, news was sent to the Savior. He who thou lovest is sick. And the Lord said those words, that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And we learn that when Lazarus had died, verse 6 of John chapter 11, that the Savior, when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place. He didn't come straight away. We learn later on in that chapter, John chapter 11, verse 17, that when the Lord finally did arrive, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. We learn that when the Lord did come, he ministered to his people. He strengthened them. And also, in verse 45 of John chapter 11, many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did and believed on him. The Lord had a purpose for his delay, and it was that he might be glorified and that his people would be strengthened. And the Lord, in your life and in my life, never does anything by mistake. For all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord may delay his coming, but when he comes and he delays his coming, it's because he always has a purpose in it. And that is to strengthen you. That is to draw people to himself. We learn that whenever the Lord revealed himself to these disciples, you read on in chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 54 to 56, that it caused a great seal in their soul, that it lifted them up, it stirred them up. They then knew the Lord, they recognized the Lord, and they went out, and it caused them to have that desire to go out and reach the lost for Christ. It gave them that desire to go out and compel all to come in. It gave them that burning experience. Oh, the Lord has met with us. The Lord has helped us. The Lord has come. He's revealed himself to us. We cannot just sit around, but we must get out and bring others to him. And I wonder today, if the Lord has lifted you up, whatever it may be, whether you've lost that loved one, you can encourage someone. You've gone through a trial. The Lord can use that there. Oh, the Lord revealed himself to his disciples. Notice finally, the Lord's peace to his disciples in the storm. Verse 60. He talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. And the words be of good cheer simply read, it is I. I am. The great I am. The name of Jehovah. That name that was revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When he was sent to the people Israel. And Moses responded, who is it? Who will I say that has sent me? I am has sent you. Jehovah, the covenant keeping God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, whenever they heard the name, whenever he said, it is I, he talked with them, they knew the one who it was. And it brought comfort to them. And I say to you, whenever we open up God's precious word, and he speaks with us, my sheep, hear my voice. Has he talked to you today? Has he spoken to you today? Have you lifted up his word today and had that word, it is I, be not afraid. Oh, the Lord revealed himself to these disciples. Chapter 6, verse 54, they knew him. And that word know simply means to recognize, to be acquainted with. They had recognized him. They were now acquainted with him. And their eyes were stayed upon him. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knowledge, knew these disciples were going to go through a storm that day. He prepared them for that storm. He prayed for them. He paid attention to them. He had his presence with them. And then he gave his peace unto them. I say to you today, the Lord has a word for you, and the Lord has a word for me. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How can the Lord use you today to minister to others? That comfort that he has given you, now give it to other people. What about you who are not saved? As the Lord has prepared you today, each time you come to hear God's word, are you prepared for eternity? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Are you prepared to stand before him and give an account? We looked today at Brother Mike's life. Mike was ready to meet the Lord. What about you? In your times of sickness, in your times of bereavement, in your times of sorrow, do you have a refuge that you can come to? Or do you turn to the things of the world? Do you turn to the systems of the world where they don't help, they only make worse? Well, I invite you today to come to the only Saviour of sinners, the refuge for the soul, and trust in Jesus Christ. Because I don't know what trouble you're in. I don't know what difficulty you're going through. But he does, and he is the answer. Oh, come to him today without delay. Will you not?